by donkey. Thank you.
Maybe just to share a little bit from my own life in regards. I'm not gonna talk about fathering today. But it's just the last couple of weeks, maybe a month or two. I've been writing a letter to my father, but I haven't given it to him. And somebody told me the other day and said, listen, you're probably writing that letter for yourself. And I realized that, yes, I am going to give it to my dad if I can get the courage going. And I've actually shared with some of you. So my mom, she's always been the communicator in the family. And when she passed away, it's like, you know, it's like a vacuum of communication. It's just something that was sucked out of the room, in a sense. And it's actually, my dad and myself, we've always struggled to connect deeply, you know, to talk deeply. Weet jy wie van julle kan assosieer daarmee, of jou ma of jou pa, jy weet, jy gesels lekkerder met die een as met die ander een, of wat ook al. I don't know, am I the only weird child? And I think it's so normal that that we struggle with that. And I used to be so frustrated, you know, not to be able to speak to my father. And I took it to God. I said, you know, Lord, I struggle with this. And obviously his time on earth, my time on earth is limited. And I want to speak to my father. And it's better. It's much better, our communication. But we still struggle to go deep. I've got all this stuff that I write down, you know, stuff of the heart. With lekker goed wat jy oor wil praat, diep goed man, you know. And I'm probably more the emotional one, but you want to speak stuff of the heart, not stuff of business and all of that. And then when I walk into the room with him, I'm like, it's like all professional. But every now and again, there's that moment where we connect. And it's amazing. It's like heaven. You know, just to hear him laugh and to share about his life. And then when we move apart again, we're back to that place again where we struggle to speak deep stuff. We'll always speak about the farm, or we'll speak about the rugby, or we'll speak about the politics or whatever. And I really believe it's God's heart that we connect as a people deeply with, not just, I'm speaking about my father now, but with people, with one another. But I believe we can only do that if we connect deeply with Jesus and we connect deeply with God the Father. Because many times there's a brokenness in us that needs to be fixed. There's a hurt in us that needs to be fixed. Many times it's just the courage that God has to place in our hearts, mixed in with love, mixed in with joy, mixed in with God's righteousness, for us to take the steps of faith and to communicate effectively and properly. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with my sermon. We have a clock there at the back for the first time today. You don't have to look at that. I have to look at that. And I don't know if it's going to help. Maar dis vakansie, so ek sal nie te lank praat nie. Dennis isn't in church today, but he shared this the other day. Where is that? I just had it here. Sorry. Ek gaan dit nou kry. Ach nee man, Rick, nou is dit weg. Krap gou iemand se rug terwyl ek dit soek. Ach, kom nou. Kom by daar. Okay. This was good. This was good for me. He sent this on the small groups WhatsApp, and I hacked it. He says, when church becomes optional to you, it will become unnecessary to your children. Soos Anna Tannie altyd sê, I mean no ouch. Nee? Dis nog steeds nie waar ek wil praat nie, ek wil dit maar net deel. When church becomes optional to you, it will become unnecessary to your children. And this obviously, this speaks about discipline, and I can bring it over to what I want to talk about today. This speaks about discipline, and this speaks about choice, and this speaks about priority, and this speaks about work. I don't know who of you just miraculously appeared here this morning. Anyone? Erika, yeah. Blast from the past. It took some effort to come to church this morning. And, yo, I don't even know if I'm in the spirit this morning or if I'm, I'm just gonna talk. But this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about work today. And the way I've got this figured out might not even be perfect or whatever, but this is what I have this morning is, when we talk about work, I believe work is a virtue. A virtue in Afrikaans for me is net is a goeie ding. It's a goeie eienskap. Work is a good thing. Depending on the context of work. So I think all of us, you grew up with parents or grandparents that were hardworking. They gave you an example of hard work, you know. Maybe Opa or Oma showed you the blisters on their hands of the physical hard work, whatever it was that they did. Miskien het Oma sulke eelte op haar knuckles van broodknie of something like that. But who of you had Opas and Omas and Moms and Dad who, like, they were really, really hard workers, you know? And they proud themselves in that. They pride themselves in that. Even when they're not here, they still pride themselves in that. Yeah, because, yeah, sorry, my tenses. Anyway, and obviously it's a virtue, it's a good thing. My dad was a really, really, really hard worker, and I admired him for that. I really admired him for that. I was this part of me that wanted to be like him and still want to be like him. In that area of his life. He's 78 and he refuses to stop working, which I just think is haragat, and I won't tell that to him. But it's really admirable. Dis regtig vir my mooi om te sien that he worked hard, he's still working hard, energy's getting lower, but work hard, and he enjoys it. He finds joy in what he does. And obviously when we work to put food on the table, and when we work to for the education of our children, or you work for retirement. The fact that we can be here today is partly due because you guys work and you contribute financially to the church. Working enables us to get the money. It enables us to be givers, to give to people that's in need. So work is a great virtue. In obviously it's like our parents altyd in Afrikaans het gesê die geld val nie uit die lug nie. En geld groei nie op pa of ma se rug nie. Dit kan eintlik 'n rympie wees, maar hulle het dit gewoonlik nie saam gesê nie. You've got to work for money. Work is a virtue. But then I think what happens is we bring that work ethic into our spiritual life as well, into our religious life as well. And throughout time, that good thing becomes a burden, because what happens is we build religious systems and we build religious rules and the do's and the don'ts of how to get to heaven. And that is what we talked about it at Encounter One this week, just quickly as well. That is what all the other religions in the world does. It requires of you to work yourself into favor and into the presence of God, into heaven. That's what it says. And there's obviously strings of the flows of the Christian faith that sometimes do that as well. And I think even in our own lives, many times we feel we have to perform and we have to work. And I think we've talked about that a lot. And there's a danger in that, is that when you think you have to work for your salvation. Right? And that's why I love it when we talk about us being dead, or we were dead. Okay? We weren't sparteling and struggling like, what is it, drinkeling? Somebody drowning in the water and then Jesus came to save us. Okay? Because in that, I still work. But when I'm dead, it's really hard for a dead person to work themselves to life. In fact, I think it's very frustrating for a dead person to try and work themselves into life. And when we have that picture in our mind that, you know, we were dead, we cannot work ourselves into a resurrection. We cannot do that. We were in need of an outside entity that looked at us, that had compassion on us, and said, I will resurrect you. I will bring you life. And guess what? It is free. The only work you have to do is to surrender and say, I need that. I need that resurrection. I realize that I'm dead. I'm alive to this world. I'm alive to the flesh. I'm alive to the demonic powers, but I'm dead to Christ. So I need this resurrection. So when it comes to salvation, and it's important that we understand that, it's the basic of Christianity. But many times, we look at other people, we look at ourselves, and we're tempted to fall back into that place of, we have to work for that. And we want other people to work for that. And preachers, many times even, they would coerce people into a moral salvation. We'll scream at you that you have to live a better life. But you cannot live a better life if you are not regenerated. Jy kan nie 'n beter lewe lei as jy dood is nie. You can't be morally good, ethically good, whatever good you want to be, if you are not regenerated, if you've not been made alive by the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you have to be born again. The way you're living now is not going to help you. Obeying all the rules, expecting all the other people around you and in your society, in your communities, and in your nation to obey the rules, it's probably going to be good for law and order. It's probably going to be good for, you know, not driving into somebody or killing somebody or messing up other people's yards and lives and animals and well-being. But for establishing a relationship with God, it's futile. It's not going to work. So in that sense, work, it's not a virtue. It's not going to work. We are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. Not by our works. Okay? Amen da. Nee. All right? But then, I think what many times happen as well is we come to this third work that I want to just talk about and elaborate a little bit about today is there's a scripture that says we have to work out our own salvation. And I've been thinking about that, and I was always confused. And then I realized just one little word that I will put in there that will help us to make sense of that. It says, work out our salvation. It doesn't say, work for your salvation. It says, because Jesus Christ saved us, he resurrected us by his grace. Now he says, be holy, for I am holy. He says there's a standard that Jesus Christ came to portray to us. And now that you have been saved by grace, I want you to continue in grace to work out your own salvation. And obviously the word sanctification is a more explanatory word and helps us to understand that. We were dead, okay? Jesus came. He gives us an opportunity to be resurrected, to be saved. Ons word gered, okay? Ons staan op saam met Jesus. Ons leven nou saam met Jesus, okay? But we are still in this world. But one day, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the trumpet will blow. The end of time will come. The dead will raise. Opstaan, man. Rise. Lekker. Rise. The dead will rise. We will see Jesus and we will become like Jesus. And that is called glorification. That is the consummation of everything. And in a sense, I don't know if my words and my terminology is right, but that's when we are totally consumed in Christ, by Christ. And we're going to be with Him forever. That's what Paul says. He says, listen, Adam was a man of the flesh. Christ was a man of the spirit. The man of the spirit is the one that brings us life. He's the one that takes away the sins of the world. By His blood, He takes away the sins of the world. And we are now in between the salvation and the glorification. We are now in this time of the in-between where we are being sanctified. We are like Jesus. We are alive like Jesus, but we're not like Him totally. I don't know who of you thought ugly stuff this morning or last night when the Springbokke didn't make it. Those of you who watched. I don't know who of you thought some ugly stuff during this week. We had this discussion on Wednesday as well, asking people who tell themselves that they believe that they are good people. It's a Ray Comfort evangelism tool. You ask somebody when you walk up to them and you say, do you believe you're a good person? And many people in the world these days say, yes, I'm a good person. You know, I don't go around murdering people and messing up and whatever. And then he would ask people, he'd say, have you ever stolen anything in your life? Even when you were little, net a sweetie, have you stolen anything? So I just want to see, who of you in your life have stolen something? Fear? My liewe kind. Exactly, toe jy klein was, ja. She there's this picture of her wearing this pink sweatpak. Like shocking pink sweatpak when she was a baby. And when I think of that, I think she was a stoted, terrible, sweet, terrible, loving kid mixed in and everything. But she stole stuff as well. What does that make all of us? Thieves. Nay? Thieves. He would go on, then he would ask the people, have you ever hated somebody? Even just a little bit. Who of you have hated somebody? What does that make you? A hater. No. The Bible says it makes you a murderer in your heart. And then the other one was, have you ever lusted after somebody? Nou gaan ons soos. Moet nie nou vra dat hy jou hande opsteek. Moet nie dat nou doen. Ek gaan nie. But we all have. Okay? We all have lusted. What does that make you? A lusterer. Yes. I have the best English this morning. No, the Bible says it makes you an adulterer. You're an adulterer in your heart. Because the standard of Jesus Christ is unattainable outside of Him resurrecting us. And that is a wake-up call for us and for the world, is that we are not good people. Our hearts are wicked. And Christ comes, He saves us, and then He starts this process of sanctification in our lives. But when we do not realize that this is the part where we have to work, we miss the mark. Jesus, by grace, 100% gave everything. Now he's saying, I want you, in grace, 100% to give everything. And I struggle with that. That's why I feel I need to talk about this. Because I'd get frustrated and angry with the Lord if I do not get breakthrough in my lives in certain characteristics of how I think and how I speak. And then my frustration eventually lead me to a place where I probably just become lazy. And I point the finger to God and say, you must and you must and you this and you that. And God's like, I'll just patiently wait here until you repent again. Because Jesus on the cross said, it is finished. It is finished. And my grace is sufficient for you. Remember what we said the last 2-3 messages. My grace is sufficient for you, even in that weakness. But you cannot use that as an excuse. I had a discussion this week with someone about personality types. I don't know who of you have done the DISC test, or you've done Tall Trees, or Myers-Briggs, I think, is the other one. What's the other one? What's that? What Cardi will have said? 12 personalities. 16 personalities. Yeah. So there's all this stuff that you can do, and it's great tools to have. But what I have found is that myself and other people, once you figured out what your personality is, you start using that as an excuse. You're like, no, I'm an introvert. So I am not, I don't know, I don't think you can expect of me to go and connect with somebody new in church on a Sunday. That is the extrovert team's responsibility. Okay? And let the perfectionists like Fred and the Owens are achter who fix everything, let them just work with the tech stuff. I'm not going to do that. And Rick, jy kan babbel. Kyk, hy horlosie sê nou 10:10. Ek mik vir, I don't know, 11:30. Het gaan lekker vanoggend. And what happens is, and we use our personalities as an excuse not to extend the kingdom. Whereas God says, listen, in your weakness, my grace is sufficient. So I love personality tests. But personality test is supposed to show us where we are strong, and maybe in that areas where we're strong, we should humble ourselves, and we should be able to know one another. That's another thing that comes from those personality tests. But it should also, not that we need to know that, we obviously just need to be reminded of that, but I'm weak in this area. But here's the beauty. Because of the sanctification process, by the grace of God, I can grow in any area. Because love doesn't have excuses. Yet we as a people want to put a ring fence around it, and we want to give boundaries to that. Ek gaan nou van my story af. Ek moet seker 'n bietjie by die Bybel uitkom. There's a few scriptures I want to read. The first one you can follow on the screen is 2 Peter 1 verse 1. I think I got it on there from verse 3. So the first verse says, Simeon Peter, or Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith, and listen to this, of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Who have obtained a faith of equal standing. So remember, Peter, Paul, John, all those guys, they were the apostles. So they had the CV and the pedigree and everything. And obviously, Peter knew that the people, die gewone ou op straat, were looking up to them. And were probably comparing themselves with Peter. And Peter comes and he says, listen, we have received a faith of equal standing. We are leveling the playing ground. Jesus is leveling the playing ground. And then it goes on, verse 2 says, My grace and peace, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If I was charismatic, I would have told you to say all things. Yeah, and some of you are like that as well. So, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we do not have an excuse to say, I do not know where life and godliness is. I do not know where holiness is. God has granted us all things. Hy het vir ons alles gegee. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And then verse 5. For this very reason, everything that was before that, for this very reason, make every effort. Effort sounds like work. To supplement your faith. Supplement means to add, to bring with, to plus. Dit beteken net plus, man. Sit net by. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, which roughly translates goodness. And virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. If I look at that list, all of a sudden there's stuff in me that goes like, ooh, self-control. How am I doing on self-control? So there's a measurement that goes on. And we don't like to be measured. We don't like to be tested. We don't like to write tests. Some of you maybe do, but I don't like writing tests. And yet the word comes and says, here's the standard. Okay? But by faith in Christ Jesus and by the grace that is available, all godliness is available for you to grow in those areas. But it's not just going to happen automatically. You're going to have to acknowledge that. You're going to have to confess some stuff. You're going to have to phone a brother and say, listen, man, I struggle with self-control. I kicked the cat again. That poor cat. It just keeps coming back for more. I have a pastor friend who is so faithful in this. Not in the cat-kicking game. But when he lost his temper towards his wife or his children. Okay? I mean, I do that a lot, but I don't phone to say, hey. But he would call me. He would send me a WhatsApp and he would say, listen, I need to talk to you. And then I'm like, okay, lekker. And then he'd say, listen, I just want to confess this. So, I didn't have enough sleep. This is my excuses, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, I lost my temper towards my children. This is what has happened lately. But he is true to what the Bible requires of him to do. He doesn't walk around with that sin in his life, that lack of self-control, that thing that he feels is an anger problem. I don't think he's got an anger problem. It's like his wife also says, he just has a sleep problem. He always pushes stuff into the red because he works so hard. But he is true to what the Bible wants him to do, confess his sin to one another. And then his breakthrough comes. But he has to put in the effort. And yet we as believers, many times we don't put in the effort. We don't put in the work. And we've got a lot of excuses for that. And yet there's a biblical pattern that says you cannot work for your salvation, but you have to work at your sanctification. In the grace of God. I'll get to my favorite stukkie vir die dag. No. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter comes and he says, this is something beautiful that you should desire in your life. If you have these virtues, if you have these attributes, if you have this self-control, if you've got this in your life, you will be effective and fruitful as a believer. Verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul comes and he lists the stuff that he worked on so hard in his life to establish his pedigree, his spiritual pedigree, his religious pedigree. Though I myself have no reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But what, so I don't know if you would ask Paul this questions about have you ever hated somebody or how he would fare in that. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death. So Paul comes and he establishes salvation. Salvation, righteousness through grace, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. And here's work again. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Remember we said a few Sundays ago, and I said, you know, we have a mission to know God and to make him known. But we cannot do any of that if we are not known by Christ. That's where it starts. If we are known by Christ, we will be effective in knowing him and making him known. The first one, grace, free gift. The rest is, there's some work from our side. There's some coming to church. There's some bringing our children. There's some establishing a standard. There's some taking on the culture. There's some Bible reading. There's some praying. There's some repenting. There's some deliverance that takes place. There's some forgiveness. There's some renunciation that needs to take place. There's some work that comes from our side as well. But in grace. Julle nog oraait. Wie van julle ryk al hoender en skaapbout en weet jy wat se ander sondes nie? Waar is ons nou? Stop interrupting yourself. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. That's beautiful. Imitate me and keep your eyes on those who walk by example according to us. He's saying, listen, this isn't just a walk alone. This is a walk that we walk together. And when I keep my eye on Jesus, and you keep your eye on Jesus, and that girl and that guy keep their eye on Jesus, there's a community of encouragement, of gracious encouragement that come along the way. There's a holiness that is being formed, not individually alone, but in community as well. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. En net omdat julle begin hoender en skaapboud ryk, gaan hierdie my laaste versie wees wat ek nou lees. Dit is vir my so mooi, it's beautiful. Philippians 4 verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's the grace again. In Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Just a few things from this. Rejoice in the Lord always. It says, listen, while we are working out our salvation, while we are being sanctified, it says, if you want to do that and enjoy doing that, you have to delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to delight in the fact that you are saved. You have to remind yourself very often and say, let's look at the cross that is now empty. That tool of torture and death where I was supposed to hang on. God, I look at that tool of torture and I'm filled with thankfulness. And I rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, listen, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. He says, come in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You and I have experienced that, ne? When your heart is full of joy, when you rejoice in Jesus Christ, you come with boldness to the Father. You come with boldness into the presence of God. Otherwise, you come murmuring and complaining. Klaar, bitter. And then later on, you don't want to go there anymore. It's got to start with this rejoicing in the Lord. And with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, before we practice all these things, the picture that I see is, it says, you need a platform of joy. You need a platform of peace. You need a platform of thanksgiving. You need a platform of righteousness. The righteousness is supplied by Jesus Christ. The joy is supplied by Jesus Christ. The peace is supplied by Jesus Christ. And our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. And when we have that platform, it becomes a delight to practice holiness. Amen. Julle hoor wat ek wil sê vanoggend. So sometimes we frustrated, we struggle. Maybe you can just write this down or put it on your cell phone. 1 Timothy 4 verse 6 to 10. Paul talks to Timothy just about working. 2 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 7, that's a scripture where he uses the example of a soldier, a farmer, and an athlete. And when you think about a soldier, a farmer, an athlete, I think about effort. I think about discipline. I think about people that work hard. but they actually enjoy what they do. And they're usually part of a team in that. They're usually part of a community in that. So you can just write that down. That's, yeah. Let's stand. Slide the phones off. Lord, we want to thank you this morning that that we can come to you, God, and that, Lord, that we can actually experience your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It's stuff that we encounter. It's stuff, God, that we have experienced in our lives before, Lord. God, I want to thank you that we can delight in you, Lord. God, we want to thank you for peace, Lord. And I want to pray, Father God, Lord, I want to pray that today people will walk out of this place, Lord, with more peace than with which they walked in here, Lord. I want to pray, Father God, Lord, that we will be vulnerable to you, Lord, and we will be vulnerable to one another, Lord, so that we'll be quick to confess, Lord. I want to pray, Father God, that you will come and restore trust, Lord, in any place, Lord, where trust has been broken, God, so that we can walk in the light with one another, Lord, and we can practice holiness, Lord. We can work, Father God, out our salvation, Lord. We can take steps, Father God, Lord. We can run the race, Lord, keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author, Lord, and the finisher of our faith, Lord. I want to pray today, Father God, Lord, that you will touch our hearts and you will touch our minds. But God, that you will see, Lord, how we respond to that touch in obedience. How we will take stock, Lord, of our character, Lord. And we will not be condemned of what we find there, Lord. How we will take stock, Lord, of what we think and what we speak and what we do or don't do, what we say or don't say, Lord. And God, wherever, Father God, Lord, it is found wanting, we will not be condemned, but we will be excited. Because we know that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. I want to pray, Father God, today, Lord, for every person, Lord, who have made the decision to surrender to Jesus Christ and who have started to walk this walk of holiness, this walk of sanctification, but have become tired and have become frustrated. And Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, that you will touch us this morning. You will touch us during this day. You will touch us during this week, Lord. And God, that you will help us to grow. Grow in our characters. Grow in our discipline, Lord. Grow in our obedience. Grow in our faithfulness, Lord. We surrender today, Father God, once again, Lord. And God, help us that our surrender will not just remain words. It will not just remain an idea. It will not just be a pie in the sky, Lord, but it will manifest in reality, Lord, in our daily lives. And God, may we call the goodness out of one another as well, Lord. May we call Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, out of one another as well, Lord. May we help one another to grow. May we help one another to work, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. Glorify you today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.